You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, what's your favorite smell in the world?
The ocean, coffee, fresh baked bread.
Okay, now take a whiff of my neck and tell me what you smell.
You and freshly baked bread?
You got it, hon. This is Melanie's newest incredible scent, Brioche.
Oh, wow.
Right? You see, there's this little bakery in France Melanie used to walk by, and the smell of bread would stop her in her tracks. Don't you think this scent has the same effect?
It definitely stopped me.
Nice. Well, you'll want to check out all of Voyage AC's gorgeous face and body products, beautiful scents, and phenomenal candles. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our brand new website at theonlyonepod.com. And you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VoyageTCIE.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
What?
Yep, that's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and scents.
This podcast is supported by Cute Booty Lounge. Thank you to Cute Booty Lounge for signing up to sponsor another season of The Only One in the Room. I love how your leggings look on my girl.
And I love wearing them. Mm. They are by far the sexiest and coziest leggings I've ever owned. And now that it's officially fall, I'm all for anything cozy. Mm-hmm. Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women and for women. The company is incredible. It's female and minority owned. Everything they make makes your booty look amazing. The dresses, right? Yep. The tops, the lounge and sleepwear, and their leggings have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets. There's a cute booty style for everyone. Cute Booty Lounge has you covered, no matter what your style. Embrace your body, love your booty.
And to make it even sweeter, head to cutebooty.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
Now, you better pull that website up right now and get this deal.
Right? So head to cutebooty.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order. Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hiya, as Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and I'm Laura Cathcart-Robbins. And today I'm going to be reading from a book called Everywhere You Don't Belong by Gabriel Bump. And let me just first tell you a little bit about Gabriel, then I'll tell you about the novel that he wrote. Gabriel Bump grew up in South Shore, Chicago. He received his MFA in fiction from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. His debut novel, Everywhere You Don't Belong, was a New York Times notable book of 2020 and has won the Ernest J. Gaines Award for Literary Excellence, the Great Lakes Colleges Association New Writers Award for Fiction, the Heartland Booksellers Award for Fiction, and the Black Caucus of the American Library Association's First Novelist Award. Gabriel teaches at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So Gabriel's book, Everywhere You Don't Belong, is about a young boy on the South Shore of Chicago who, well, you'll see in the book, he gets left by his parents and is then raised subsequently by his grandmother. I've chosen two chapters to read that I really like and I think tell the story really well. The first one is called 63rd Street Beach, and the second chapter that I'm going to read is called Cookout. 63rd Street Beach. When Mom and Dad had their final fight, we were late to an all-black rendition of Fiddler on the Roof. "Fuck Akeem Olajuwon," Dad screamed from the dark water. Dad was out there without a boat, without pants, or a suit jacket, down to his underwear, past the buoy, rocking with the swells, pumping his arms up and down, jamming the news. Jordan was coming back. No more baseball. Back to work. Back to the ship. There was a storm coming up the horizon, up from Indiana. Lightning hit that junk barge, the barge always floating on Lake Michigan. I was out there on the beach in my nice shoes, stumbling, messing up my nice pants, yelling for my family to stabilize, relax, act normal. I remember Mom with her dangling earrings. Her bracelets had rubies. Her necklace was sapphire and thick. I remember her near the shore running, jangling, not caring about broken glass, kicking up sand, not caring about her hair, her shoes, her dress, the final straw. "Claude," Grandma called from the parking lot, "fly your behind back up here." "Join me," Dad yelled to all of us. "You'll die," Mom yelled back. "Fuck Olajuwon," Dad yelled to heaven. "We'll miss the first act," Mom yelled to a separate and more desperate heaven. Grandma pulled me into the back seat between her and Paul. "It's just a game," Paul said. Paul was a Knicks fan. Grandma got my cheek between her thumb and middle finger. She squeezed and pulled our faces close. Her long false lashes brushed against my eyebrows. Her lipstick, from that close, clumped and peeling, cracked. She wasn't scared. She was hard. She knew. I don't remember how she smelled. I don't remember what she said. I remember looking past her moving lips. Out there, my father, still past the buoy, still waving his arm, still floating, still there. The next day, Mom left us and Euclid Avenue and 63rd Street Beach. The day after that, Dad followed her. Neither left a note or a kiss goodbye. "That's it," Paul said, then in the car before pulling a sleeping mask from his breast pocket. "That's enough culture for one day." We missed the first and second acts. We missed the play. Cookout. I didn't get better. Paul and Grandma thought I'd settle into the changes. New school, no friends, no parents, harder math problems, bullies. One night I heard them listing my problems in the kitchen. Sentimental, no backbone, adrift, unspectacular. I wanted a glass of water. I went back upstairs, parched. Of course I cried. I cried all the time, too often. The next morning, Grandma made me watch as she swept pictures of my parents off the piano into a trash can. A cleanse, Grandma called it. That was a Monday. Each day for the rest of the week, Grandma destroyed something poisoned with my parents' spirits. Tuesday, she stepped on Dad's favorite Temptation records while playing the Four Tops on a boombox. "Not the solo David Ruffin. That doesn't count," she said. "You can't expect me to. I mean, it's David Ruffin. Come on." Wednesday, she took a weed whacker to all of Mom's remaining dresses and pantsuits. Thursday, she took me to the roller rink to meet girls. Didn't care about my backward rhythm or flat feet. Friday, she took me to the park to make friends, for fresh air, human interaction. She took me back home when I saw an injured squirrel and cried. Nothing worked. Saturday, the Bulls. I cried whenever I passed our Michael Jordan portrait in the foyer. I cried when I sipped from my Phil Jackson mug. I cried whenever I passed our portrait of Craig Hodges wearing a dashiki, also in the foyer, above the Jordan. The championships were over. Those times were never coming back. Grandma's lighter was gold-plated, fueled to the brim, and dangling from her fingertips over a pile of Bulls memorabilia. She had an epiphany. Gasoline. "Go get something potent," Grandma said to Paul, who was standing next to me there in the backyard, underneath a crabapple tree, near a pile of tiny rotting fruit. I was crying then, there in the backyard. Grandma was sick of it. She had stopped consoling me. She had stopped acknowledging my runny nose and puffy eyes. When I cried before bed, she didn't come running down the hall with her robe open. Paul sprinted out of the house with a clear jug half filled with clear, sloshing liquid. "What's that?" Grandma asked, taking her eyes off me. "Burn through diamonds," Paul said, took a swig from the jug before handing it to Grandma. "Wait," I said. Grandma and Paul looked over at me, paused, stopped pouring the clear liquid on the cardboard Dennis Rodman. "Baby," Grandma said. "Fire purifies," Paul said. "We can't blame the Bulls," I said. "They didn't do anything wrong." I pulled my Horace Grant t-shirt from the pile and went upstairs. "Thank God," I heard Grandma say behind me. "God damn," I heard Paul say. "All right. He's all right." In the basement that night, I came across Grandma dancing with cardboard Dennis Rodman, leading him across the unfinished floor, twirling, dipping, listening to David Ruffin sing about Georgia and rain. She didn't see me then, there in the hallway down the stairs. She was wearing a commemorative sweatshirt from the first three-peat. I saw her smiling, eyes closed, far away. That smile I hadn't seen before. It was pure and light. For me, she was willing to burn her happiness. For her, I stopped crying. On Sunday, when Grandma noticed my dry eyes and lifted chin at breakfast, she stood, walked around the table, kissed my forehead, didn't say anything, walked back to her Belgian waffle. "All right," Paul said. "God damn, all right." On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.